Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 1:09 PM, the Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 19th. Well, Wall Street finished down about 1% today, and if we look at the S&P 500, it has pulled back from the upper side of its evolving range between about 3,200 and 3,600. So we've got at least near-term resistance in the region of the peak from back in September. There's continued speculation about the about whether there is likely to be a deal on the fiscal front either now or before the election. I still think that it is very unlikely that they're going to agree on anything before Amy Coney Barrett is confirmed within the Supreme Court. It's such a point of contention between the two parties that it looks unlikely, or at least certainly wouldn't look good from a media perspective, if they were to agree before that event in fact happens. And then of course we have the presidential election on top of all of that, and it doesn't behoove the Democrats to move on some of their red lines until after that event in any case. So we do have potential for some pause and consolidation over the course of the next few weeks as we look at what the potential outcomes are. What I thought was also interesting in here today was that the CSI 300 in China also pulled back from the upper side of its range, and it did so in a rather dynamic manner, and that's a downside Q reversal from the upper side of the range, which suggests again that there is some resistance at the upper side of the range, just like we have on the S&P 500. But the big difference here is that China's currency is now breaking out to new highs again. It was in additional positive territory, and it's reasserting its uptrend. When we look at this on a weekly basis, then the downtrend for, or at least the dollar's uptrend from the lows back in early 2018 has very conclusively been broken. That's been the case now for at least the last 2 months, and the renminbi continues to extend its advance. Then when we look at China's government bonds, the nominal value of the debt at 3.2% is a bit of a standout internationally, but it's in a currency that's appreciating, so that is going to make it doubly attractive from the perspective of international investors, and particularly on a relative basis, because when we look at 10-year treasuries at about 70 basis points, then 76 basis points, it's not especially attractive when you can pick up over 3% in China in an appreciating currency. Then when we look at the dollar index, well, we have to remember that it is majority euro and pound and yen, and these are all the low interest rate countries. So when we look at the dollar index, it's much more about supply and which region is most likely to provide the most supply for its currency in the short term. So the dollar, however, was in negative territory in here today. And that's despite the fact that we've had some easing of the speculation about the next fiscal package. It has been the case that over the last few months, every time it's looked more likely that there would be a fiscal package, the dollar has pulled back. When it's become less likely, it has strengthened, and we haven't got a deal yet. But the bigger picture overall is that there are massive deficits, and it's unlikely to change. We are in a social condition where there has been significant unrest. Then there has been a level of fraud exposed in the amount of money that people have been claiming in unemployment benefits that is mind-boggling. I think in one place, or if it wasn't in one place, it was in Colorado, that it was over a quarter of all the unemployment benefits filed were fraudulent in the teeth of the coronavirus. We've even had people rapping about how they have, how some of his homies have been selling cocaine, and all he had to do was file a claim, and that person was arrested over the weekend. So we've certainly seen that the spraying of money into the economy has been floating around. There have been a lot of fraudulent activities. Obviously, the more foolish people are talking about how they've made their money, there will be plenty of people who have the good sense to keep quiet about it. But then there is the additional point that it was spraying money at the economy, and that has helped to support retail sales. That's part of the reason why we've had companies like Ross Stores and TJX and Gap rebound in a pretty impressive manner since their lows back in March. But the money from the first round of stimulus is starting to run out. And it's not in the ability of these types of companies to simply sit there and wait for the next one. So companies are going to start feeling the pressure from reduced consumer activity as the stimulus money starts to run out. Well, that does suggest that there's at least the potential. It's something that, or the immediate phrase that pops into my mind, it's an old adage that there's many a slip between the cup and the lip. And that's, I think, where we are now with the stock market and a lot of these consumer companies, that we have the scope for additional stimulus, and that would certainly help with consumer sales. It would help with our retail sales, consumer confidence, but we haven't had it yet. And until we have it, we're unlikely to see this catalyst on the upside. As we look over the long term, there is quite likely to be significant additional stimulative action. It's only a matter of time before the Federal Reserve becomes progressively more active in trying to control the yield curve. The yield curve spread is at 60 basis points. Every time it's got to 70 basis points in the last 6 or 7 months, it has pulled back in a dynamic manner. The market so far is doing the Fed's job for it and behaving as if yield curve control is already in place. Eventually, though, the Fed's bluff is going to be called, and that's when we're going to see the next round of significant additional stimulus. Quite what it is going to take in order for that to happen remains to be seen. It could be that the stock market pull back somewhat more, or it could be that they do eventually announce an additional stimulus, at least in the order of 1.8 trillion, potentially even more than that. And then the Federal Reserve will have to buy that debt. So there is really no way in which we are going to see any kind of change in the activity that the Federal Reserve is engaged in. The one thing that they will be very conscious of is the fact that the 30-year yield is at 1.55%. It's right in the region of the trend mean in the upper side of this range that's been forming now for the last 6 months. If yields start moving higher on the long end of the curve, then they will have to intervene in order to arrest the advance. And that will then represent yield curve control because they are then buying at both the short end and the long end. We're not there yet. But the big point, of course, is that we don't necessarily need to have inflation. We could potentially have an environment where investors would rather own Chinese debt than US debt. They can pick up a higher yield in appreciating currency. Now, obviously, from a macro long-term perspective, the big question then is whether China is a reliable credit or as reliable a credit as the US government is. And then, of course, there are the questions about the quality of the currency and the reserve status of the dollar. But the renminbi is certainly appreciating. So that is bringing these questions much more into the fore. And it is one of the good reasons why the gold price is steady and it's still around the $1,900 area, although it was off its highs in here today. The oil price is steady around the $40 area, although it was again off its highs as well in here today. But one thing that I think is particularly interesting is we're seeing the pace of M&A activity in the shale sector picking up. That was, I think, rather predictable. It's been characterized by independent oil companies. It's inevitable that because it's a highly capital-intensive business, that better capitalized companies and those that have got longer experience in allocating capital effectively would eventually take over the prime assets. So we've seen, for example, that Chevron bought Noble, ConocoPhillips bought Concho Resources today, and the two things that are common to those shares is that they are well off their lows. Whereas some of the companies that have been less aggressive or less acquisitive over the last few months are still right on their lows. So this concentration on the shale properties does appear to be rewarded. Then when we look at the rig count, it does look like it is starting to bottom, particularly for horizontal wells, since they are the primary use case in shale drilling. That does look like a significant decline, but very clear bottoming activity. We've had a lot of people buying cars, and the price of secondhand vehicles has surged. So that's against a background where miles driven has been trending downwards. When we then think about, well, what's a recovery likely to look like? Well, once you've bought a car, it's quite unlikely. Unfortunately, that miles driven chart hasn't been updated since the end of 2018, so it's not going to be very effective. But once you've bought a car, you're inclined to drive it. When we do get a recovery, then, and we do see an end to the lockdowns, then people are going to be driving more miles. There is the clear potential that we're going to have a demand shock in the oil sector. Then I think it's also particularly interesting that Bitcoin is starting to rally in here. It was up $240 today. It's coming back into the region of the upper side of the range that's been forming for the last 3 months. This has first step above the base characteristics, and as long as it is holding the region of the trend mean and the psychological 10,000 level, I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. It's been a long winter for the cryptocurrency market. I would say that one of the most important things that's happened was the halving back in May. Classically, that results in a significant bull market historically for the Bitcoin price since its genesis in 2008. So we haven't had a significant advance since the halving. There is the potential that it is yet in front of us. But there is again the potential that investors are looking on Bitcoin and gold and oil and commodities as a hedge against the devaluation of fiat currencies. So that I think is one of the most pressing phenomena out there. Then when we look at what's going on with the UK and the Eurozone, well, the pound was a little weaker against the dollar in here today, and also a little weaker against the euro, back below the 110 level again. Well, again, there is a lot of brinksmanship that is going on between the UK and the Eurozone. It's really looking quite likely that there will be a deal, simply because I think that the UK is not quite ready yet to just go it alone, despite the fact that a swift pulling off of the band-aid might probably be better in the long term. The appetite, excuse me, the appetite for that kind of, sorry, I need to cough. For that kind of way of exiting the EU, I think is going to be, there's a lot of people are fearful about it. Whether it would in fact represent a very disruptive event would remain to be seen. But there has been a clear succession of higher reaction lows since September, and 110 has been an area of support on multiple occasions over the course of the last couple of years. Then 108 has been where the pound has really rebounded in an emphatic fashion from since 2016. So we are on the cusp of a big decision, and I think it will become clear over the course of the next 6 weeks just which way they are likely to go in. But I still think that we're not going to have a real answer to any of these questions until we get closer to the end of the year when the actual deadline comes a lot closer. That is when there will be some urgency on both the behalf of the UK and the Eurozone. Obviously, this represents a big question from the perspective of the stock market. The FTSE 250 is still right in the region of the trend mean and was a little more positive in here today. The DAX index in Germany, it's obviously really very attuned to the outlook for global growth. It's right in the region of the upper side of the range for the last few years, but it hasn't quite been able to push on to new high ground. Then, when we think about small caps, that would be more levered to a US recovery, while the Russell 2000 rallied in really quite a dynamic manner last week. It was in negative territory in here today, but at least it is back above the trend mean. So I do think we are at a point where there is likely to be some consolidation. I think one of the more important questions is if the stock market is declining over the course of the next 2 weeks, then that would favor a Biden victory. It's usually when the stock market is rallying into the election that favors the incumbent. That was one of the questions that I had last week, that there were a lot of people were very enthused about the idea of a Biden victory, and yet the stock market was rallying. Well, it would generally be expected that the stock market should decline when the leading candidate is proposing higher corporate taxes. We don't buy countries, we buy companies, and the reality is that companies will be paying more in tax. The big question that's outstanding would be, will the stimulus that is subsequently implemented outweigh the quantity of money that's going to get taken out of the market as a result of higher taxes? And of course, the reality is that the burden will not fall evenly on each company. So it, at the very minimum, suggests that there will be some form of rotation. And then, of course, there will also be people becoming more activist in terms of taking profits in order to avail of lower capital gains taxes against our, and then insuring themselves against the potential that there will be tax hikes coming in the next administration. So the likelihood is that if there is going to be a Biden victory, that we should have at least some consolidation in the stock market. And with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.